You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Peter LaBarbera. I'm the president of Americans for Truth, and I'd like to welcome you to the debut episode of the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL 1160 in suburban Chicago. And I'm so excited to be doing our debut show. I've worked with the folks at YLL on the other end of the microphone often on the Sandy Rio show and various other programs, and it's good to be on this end, and I'm so excited about what we have in store for the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is my organization. The website is americansfortruth.org. We are a single-issue group devoted to opposing the well-funded and powerful homosexual activist movement. And so a lot of our shows will be, and our interviews will be about that issue, but we're going to be basically dealing with the social issues, the so-called culture war issues. And all I can promise you is that there will be some very compelling and interesting information coming from the show, and I really encourage you to listen to it. If you can't catch it at 1 o'clock on Saturday morning, I know that's not always the most convenient time. You can listen to it later on our website or online at WYLL, and tell your friends on all over the country. But we are going to have some just wonderful interviews with people on the front lines of the culture war. I like to go to the source, and you'll see our program today. We're going to have just an amazing guest, Dawn Stefanowicz, who is a woman who was raised in a very dysfunctional family. Her father was a extremely promiscuous homosexual. So I guess I should start out by saying that this is not a show for children. This is for adults. I don't think there should be too many children listening at 1 o'clock in the morning anyway. If so, you're probably a derelict parent to begin with, but we won't go there. this is not a show for children, this particular program. A little bit about myself. I used to work for Family Research Council. I worked at the Washington Times as a reporter. I worked for Accuracy in Media, which is the first group to take on the liberal media. I worked for Concerned Women for America. A lot of the time covering these culture war issues. And I came to Illinois when I went to be the executive director at the Illinois Family Institute, and was there for a few years, and that was wonderful. I got to come out to where I was born in Illinois. I got to come back to this great state, which, by the way, also the politics, of course, are dysfunctional, but speaking of that word. I left Illinois Family Institute to go full-time with my group, Americans for Truth, because I really felt the need, with the incredible progress of the so-called gay rights movement, the GLBT, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement. I just feel that there's a need to oppose that movement and tell the truth about this activist movement and this lifestyle. And so that's what we try to do with our website, americansfortruth.org. For identification purposes, I also have a political website called Republicans for Family Values. That website is rffv.org. But this is the Americans for Truth Hour, and we will be featuring stellar guests on the front lines of the culture war. I live in suburban Chicago. I've got 5 kids. I've got a wonderful wife, Christina, and I'm just excited to be my heart is to educate people on the issues. I find that many people are just woefully uninformed, and the other side is dedicated. They give their all. The gay rights movement has much more zeal and spends much more money than the pro-family movement, but the one thing they lack is the truth, and that's why I named my organization Americans for Truth. They have more money, they have more power, they have the media and the Hollywood backing, but what they lack is the truth, of course. And I'm a born-again Christian. I believe that on this issue and other issues like abortion, which is very dear to my heart, the pro-life issue, we agree with God. But unfortunately, a lot of people who do agree with God on these issues just are not involved in our public policy, and they're not really fighting for our country and fighting to preserve this wonderful country that we've been given, that this blessing of America, that the most wonderful country probably that ever was, and this godly heritage that we have, and now we see it being squandered. And so what you're going to hear on the Americans for Truth Hour is compelling information that will help you to be engaged and informed in these cultural battles. And with that introduction behind me, I'd like to introduce my first guest, debut guest on the show, and I'm very excited to have her. Her name is Dawn Stefanowicz. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Dawn is a published author. I just read her book yesterday. It's called Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting. And it is really one of the most riveting reads I've ever had. It's living proof. Dawn is living proof that truth can be stranger than fiction. What she went through and her siblings and her mother at the hands of her father. And he was, she'll tell you the story, but you really need to listen to this and stay tuned. We're going to do two segments this week and next week, a full hour. And because I want you to get to know this woman, I want you to get to know the effects of so-called gay parenting. You know, the liberal media says, hey, gay parents are just like straight parents. It's all the same. There's no difference whatsoever. But I think Dawn gives the lie to that. Dawn lives in London, Canada, with her husband of 23 years. I think maybe it's more than that now, maybe 24, 25. And they have two children. And Dawn, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. How are you, Peter?
Welcome. You're our first guest. How does it feel to be the debut guest on the Americans for Truth Hour?
Well, it's a great opportunity to really share, from my heart, and for your listeners to begin to understand how various family forms can impact children.
Well, Dawn, as I said, I was absolutely riveted by your book. I could not put it down. I read it straight through. It's a wonderful read, and we're going to be offering it through AmericansForTruth.com. You can go there and send us a message. Just go to AmericansForTruth.com. But first of all, I want to congratulate you on telling this wonderful story. You did an outstanding job, Dawn. You are a wonderful writer. You tell it with such ease and such believability. You told the hard part. And you did it in a way with Christian compassion. I just want to commend you for an excellent job writing this book.
Well, thank you so much, Peter. It really is. I mean, it's been a challenging road to begin with, to have grown up in this kind of environment. And then to come out and share the full story, it is overwhelming at times. It really is a lonely walk when you, as an adult child, grow up after growing up in this environment, and decide to share your story publicly. It really isn't something that everyone, would be aware of. And they need to be, because what's happening in our courts, what's happening in our government, whether that's at the federal level or the state level or even municipally, is impacting absolutely everyone. And people need to understand that this is not just another form of family that I grew up in and that other children are growing up in right now.
Well, let's back up, Dawn. Let's start by just give us the basic story. Again, your book is Out From Under. And tell us, your father, as you came to learn growing up, was a promiscuous homosexual. Give us the background of your father and your sort of, as you say in the book, your very dysfunctional family upbringing.
Yes. My father had grown up in a rural environment, and he was born in 1940, and his father was away in the war for approximately 5 years. And during that time, he really didn't see his dad during that period of time. And when his dad came back, his father was struggling with alcoholism and a lot of violent behavior. And so in his young life, already he was experiencing physical abuse. He also was sexually abused at the hands of older relatives. And when he was in school, he had difficulty with his eyesight, did not have eyeglasses. He was being ridiculed by his peers. And because of his background, began to get involved with some of the males within his school environment in the rural community. And anyway, by the time he was about 15 years of age, he ran away from home after doing everything he could. I mean, he had worked on the family farm and did everything he could, but he left home at age 15, moved in with a relative, and finished his high school, picked up odd jobs, and he married my mother in 1960. And my mother had absolutely no idea what kind of man she had married. And within just a few years, my twin brother and I came along. And by the time we were 10 months old, my dad had opened up the home to a number of boarders, including a past partner of his. And so that's really where the story opens.
And I think it's important, and it's just such a lesson. I think it's just another, there's so many reasons to read your book, and I'm really going to push it now that I've read it. But it's like the cycle of abuse. He was sexually abused, your father, and wasn't your aunt also sexually abused? She was, I think, now again, we've warned people, this is not for children, but your aunt was gang raped, is that correct?
Yes, she was, by her own father. And a few of her brothers, yes.
So when we see this deviant behavior that we're going to be describing that you experienced, and it's just throughout your book, it's the most incredible thing. It's coming from a previous cycle of abuse, and that's biblical. It's just going to keep coming and coming. But your father was abused, and then he went on to sort of have this abusive lifestyle. Now, we're going to be right back with Dawn Stefanowicz and her book Out From Under, telling the story of what it was like to live in the home with a father who was a promiscuous homosexual. We'll be right back with Americans for Truth Hour. Everybody, this is Peter LaBarber with the Americans for Truth Hour, the debut show of our program on WYLL AM 1160, and I'm so excited to be here as part of the WYLL team. I would urge you to support this program. We have big plans for it in the weeks ahead, but right now, for our debut guest, we have Dawn Stefanowicz. And Dawn, am I pronouncing your name right, first of all?
There's five different ways, but okay. You're fine.
Well, you just correct me if I get it wrong, but I am such a bigot. I was already an admirer of Dawn's. She is a wonderful pro-family activist. She's based in Canada, but I have even much greater respect for Dawn, having read her book yesterday, and I would encourage you to order this book. We haven't got the price yet. It's going to be in the range of $20 postpaid. You can send me an email at americansfortruth.com. There's a place there to send a message. You can send it to, I'll give you the email address. It's AmericansForTruth, all written out, .com, and the email is AmericansForTruth@comcast.net. And before I forget, I want to give Dawn's website as well. Her website is www.dawn, that's D-A-W-N, Stefanowicz, which is S-T-E-F-A-N-O-W-I-C, as in cat, Z, as in zoo, .com, DawnStefanowicz.com. Dawn, your book is I think should become a primer for anybody interested in the issue of so-called gay parenting. And as we both know, Dawn, this issue is so trivialized by the liberal media. There's no interest in really delving into what is the real effect of gay parenting. And we're going to get into a lot of that next week with our part two of our interview with you. But we're going back to just laying out your story. So your father grew up in a home that was filled with physical and sexual abuse. He ran away at age 15. Take us from there to the point where he's married now, and your mother. I was very curious how your mother reacted, why she stayed with him when she learned that he was a homosexual. How did that come to be that your mother tolerated, as it were, this husband who was basically bringing his boyfriends and tell us what you have in the book about how your father lived in the home.
Okay, you're asking about three different questions here, but I'll try to follow chronologically. First of all, by the time I'm 10 months old, there's been a partner move in among other boarders that my father is much closer to than my mother. And shortly afterwards, my parents become, well, my mother becomes pregnant with her, second pregnancy, and there's a younger brother that comes along. They stop all sexual relations. There's absolutely no sex going on between my parents. And now my father is exclusively involved in homosexual relationships with various men. And even if I go back to just give you a few examples, I'm about 5 years old and I'm being pushed on a swing. And I realize that my father's interests lie elsewhere and that he's more interested in the males that have just passed by rather than his own daughter that he's pushing on the swing. So he was already taking me into the cruising areas, their playgrounds, in the beach area.
Explain what a cruising area is for the uninitiated.
Okay. All right. For the cruising area, it isn't always that obvious, but it's often public places, like parks, children's playgrounds, public beaches. You could have a bike path as well. It also includes bars, bathhouses, tourist-type areas where people go on vacation, but it's known within the communities or within the GLBT communities as a place where you go to cruise. And so
that would be this is basically homosexual men cruising, trying to pick up anonymous sexual partners, as it were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they can go alone or partnered with one or more other partners with them. And at times it almost appears polyamorous, that they have multiple relationships going on at the same time. And anyway, so already when I'm quite young, I'm knowing that across the street from where we live, I hint at it in the book without being very direct, but there is a place across in the park and where there's an underpass under the bridge, and I'm told not to go there. And the reason for that is that's where men cruise, basically pick up their partners under that bridge. As well, by the time I'm 8 years old, my father has taken me to the Gay Nude Beach, which is just off Toronto. There's an island, it's called Hanlon's Point, there's at one end. And he's taken me into the gay village, right into the cruising areas. And of course, there's going to be the fashion shops, there's the fine restaurants, the eateries, the delis, and so forth. But there's also the cruising that goes on in broad daylight as well. There's a nightlife. And there's a bathhouse that my father is discussing with one of his partners at the kitchen table. And again, I'm 8 years old. And he's describing how the bathhouses have been raided by the police, and now they're opening up further down a main street in Toronto, downtown region. And my father is also transfixed by a female impersonator, Craig Russell, who has performed in gay bars, not just in Toronto, but in major cities across the U.S. and also in Europe. And he's arriving in town in Toronto, and it's a very big deal to the gay community to have Craig Russell in the city. And I actually, years later, saw a film taken within a gay bar where there is my father seated at a round bar table among his other friends, and they're observing Craig Russell and his performance. So it's interesting. I mean, if you go back there. Anyway, he also took me into the Canada's first sex shop, Gain downtown Toronto. And he's exposing me to various forms of sexuality, paraphilias, very diverse understanding of gender. I mean, already I'm not even 10 years old, and I'm understanding that gender can be quite fluid. You can have male, female, but you can have this middle androgynous form of gender. You can have males that are dressed up as women.
Can I ask you something, Don?
Sure.
Now, your father is taking you to these places. Did your mother know, or was it sort of like, how did it come that you were alone with your dad at these gay hangouts?
Well, we actually would go sometimes as a family right into the community or the various communities. My mother would go alone with my father. Sometimes it was my mother, my father, and some of his partners. So my mother could be in the midst of this as well, and she put up with it. And I don't really know all of her motivations for that, but I strongly suspect she had been raised that once married, you're always married, and she didn't believe in divorce. She also did not have the monetary or emotional strength or any other kinds of supports around her to even leave this marriage at that point in time. And the family law in Canada didn't offer my mother any promises of any kind of support if she left my dad, and she was worried about us as children and our physical needs being met. But what I don't think she fully comprehended the impact on us, because I have two brothers. I have a twin brother and a younger brother by about 3 years, and we were already being impacted by an early age in this kind of environment.
Yes, and you talk about that so well in the book. But so and back to your mom. So we'll get that part of my questions done. Your mom, it sounded like she sort of had an accommodation. I mean, she knew this was going on, but she sort of allowed it to continue because she was sort of trapped in this marriage.
She was, but she also had come into the marriage similar to my father with a big secret. My dad's secret was his sexuality. My mother's secret had to do with her illness.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that no one would marry her if she ever divulged that she was, chronically ill.
And a diabetic?
Yes, she was severely, brittly ill with diabetes and could go into an insulin reaction at any point with hardly any warning. I mean, by the time I'm 8... It's not just the cruising environments that I'm being taken into, but the fact is I'm becoming my mother's main caregiver. I'm also responsible for the household, for the, along with my twin brother, the cleaning, the organizing, vacuuming. We did the washrooms. I made daily meals during the weekday. They would be the supper meals mostly. I was responsible for our younger brother to make sure he got to school and back home from school. We had evening and weekend jobs. In the evenings, sometimes we would be selling cleaning and paper products to our neighbors. My father would also take us on the weekends and drop us off in communities and be left there for 3 or 4 hours to sell various paper products, cleaning products. And we also did lawn cutting. And so we were growing up with, I mean, outwardly, quite a bit of responsibility compared to other children, and really didn't have that fun-filled childhood mm-hmm. that other kids were having. So we really, at that point, couldn't compare with other families, because one thing that really stands out, we did not have strong associations with other married man-woman type households with children. We were very much surrounded by different men, often about 10 years my father's age, 10 years, his junior. And because of that, we were inculcated with the cultural values of the gay community rather than that of the heterosexual community.
So you grew up awfully fast. You had a sort of a cold, loveless upbringing, as you describe in the book, and you were responsible for so much. It's just an incredible story, Dawn. We're talking with Dawn Stefanowicz. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We have another segment coming up, and then we will be talking to Dawn as well next week, part two of the interview. This is Dawn Stefanowicz talking to Peter LaBarbera of the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL 1160. This is Peter LaBarbera with the debut show of the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL AM 1160. I am the president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, which is a group which takes on the homosexual activist movement. We're a Christian pro-family group, and we're trying to tell the other side of this very powerful lobby group, which is pushing for so-called gay marriage, homosexual lessons in schools, etc. And I'm very privileged to have as my first guest my friend Dawn Stefanowicz, who I've come to admire as one of the leading advocates or experts, as it were, And she's a real-life expert on the effect of homosexual parenting, which, as if you're following the news at all, you know it's all over the news. The liberals want to tell us that there is no difference between gay parents and a normal mother-father nuclear family. So we're hearing from Dawn's life, and Dawn is explaining about her life growing up with a very promiscuous homosexual father. And Dawn, just if you were to estimate, how many was your dad one of those homosexual men who had like hundreds and hundreds of partners, or over 1,000? It sounds like from the book he had many, many, many partners.
He had different partners, and he traveled not just across Canada to the major cosmopolitan centers, but also throughout the U.S. and the islands. He had a significant amount of disposable income, and would easily, within just a few minutes, He could be out there cruising and pick up an anonymous sexual partner, or sexual partners in the plural. People don't understand that, you know, that within these communities, monogamy is not a supported cultural value. It is more so that various types of relationships are valued, and transient relationships are right up there. It doesn't matter whether it's lesbian or homosexual or bisexual. These relationships are very diverse. They are involved in various types of sexual practices. It's not an appropriate environment to raise children. And they, again, in the media, you'll just see two men or two women, and there'll be a lot of humor attached to it. But the reality is, over time, these lives are very sad, and there's a lot of health risks involved in the various sexual behaviors that they're involved in. Gay sex is very messy, and people don't know about that. They don't know what exactly is involved. And, you know, I'll spare your readers the details, but it's challenging when you're a child and you have no choice in this kind of environment.
Yeah, and your book is really incredible. Again, the book we're talking about is Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting by Dawn Stefanowicz. And we are going to be offering this at Americans for Truth. You can send an email to me at americansfortruth@comcast.net, or just go to our website, americansfortruth.org. And I'm going to read a passage from your book, Dawn, and I want to just have you comment on it. This is on page 92, where you talk about how you've moved, you have a new home, and it's closer to your dad's other residence, where I guess he would have these trysts with his homosexual men. And it says, our new home was closer to Dad's second residence that he'd shared with Steve, which I guess was one of his long-term partners?
Yes.
And a string of other boyfriends for the last couple of years. Though this apartment was only about 10 blocks away from us, we were told to never come by. One day, Thomas, and that's Dawn, that's Dawn's twin brother, in the grip of some pressing concern, disregarded that prohibition and went to see his dad. In a state of annoyance, Dad opened the door, saw who it was, and wordlessly closed it, as if Thomas was nothing more to him than some pesky door-to-door salesman. Going around to the back of the house and peeping through a bedroom window, Thomas witnessed, now, what I'm reading here, again, this is not for children, okay, so yeah, we're on late at night on Saturday. Thomas witnessed my father having group sex with about a dozen other men. Sometimes we'd overheard him talking about such trysts on the phone, but seeing one was even more disturbing. Thomas struggled with the trauma of this sighting for a long time, looking through some of Dad's gay pornography even though the images repelled him, and wondering why Dad could kiss other men, strangers even, and here's the sad part, but never express affection to his own son. Tell me about that and the contrast between his gay life and his affection for you guys.
My father, his affection was almost always sexualized. I don't think he understood real affection. It's not just his home life, but there is this distancing from his own children that happens over the years because he's so involved in these same-sex relationships. And they're never satisfying for him. So he moves further and further into the various gay communities and exploring his sexuality and trying out different things. I mean, whether it was a nude beach, whether it was a bathhouse in a particular place in Miami, Florida, wherever he could find a brand new experience, a new type of sexual involvement with another man, he thought that that somehow was going to meet some needs within him. And he liked to have power and control in his relationships, again, with men that were 10 years his junior. So it, he
is that typical among gay men?
You'll see that often among both lesbian and gay individuals. And again, I'm using that that type of term, or gay lesbian, in a very light way. I don't believe any one of us are truly gay or lesbian. I believe that we have a heterosexual template.
Yes, and we will be interviewing ex-gays and ex-lesbians in the on this program at some time. So you're absolutely right.
The transient relationships are common in both. It's not exclusive to homosexual men. And you will find rare occurrences where there's serial monogamy for a number of weeks, months, or even a few years. But after even at the point of about 5 years, or even after 1 year, the relationships have opened up to other partners. They're not exclusively monogamous with just one other partner. And so this is the norm for the GLBT communities. And what's interesting is when you're a child growing up in this, you could have in your household, you could have not just two men or two women, but you could have both genders represented. You could have transsexual, transgendered men or women in your household as well, depending on who your parent is partnered with and, you know, who they're friends with. So you could be really, as a child, not at all in any kind of exclusive relationship or witnessing an exclusive relationship. It's very rare.
Yeah, and let's get to the what you told me off air, because we don't have too much time left. But I want to mention something else. I won't read the portion, but there was a time when I believe Thomas, your twin brother, also found some pictures of your father with another one of his boyfriends. These nude photos, he found them somewhere in the house, and so here you guys are being exposed to this awful behavior. Your mother is sort of tolerating it, and then let's talk about when she finally got up the sort of the gumption to move towards the divorce and move away. Then I'm struck in your book how your father was angry and violent, and he wanted things as they were before, even though he had done all this devastation in the relationship. He still wanted that. He resented that your mother was leaving.
Yes, it took my mom about 5 years to move through the process of separation towards legal separation and then divorce. It was a very prolonged process, and in during that time for my mom, she lost two of her very best friends. She really lost a lot of support. There was violence towards her. I mean, my father had chased her with a knife, and
when he found out she wanted the divorce,
he got very angry at her, and we had to call the police. There were violent occurrences between him and his various partners, which is called domestic violence. But it's same-sex domestic violence. But within the home environment, it became very threatening. It was convoluted with a lot of manipulation and control, and my father was even threatening my twin brother and I when we were 18, just because we wanted to attend a university out of town. So it was a very stressful environment growing up, and we had already known a few of his partners had committed suicide. I mean, before we're even 10 years old.
And what was behind those suicides?
What happens in these relationships is it's often the younger men, they're very vulnerable, and they're looking for a sugar daddy to take care of them. And it's like putting all your eggs in one basket. And if the senior partner falls through on, I mean, they totally lose it. They become very suicidal because, again, they've poured a lot into these relationships hoping for some kind of fatherly relationship, even though it's sexual. And when they say it's homophobia in society, that's a complete lie. The major cause of suicides is early sexual experimentation and involvement, as well as when these relationships break up during the teen years and in the 20s, it's very difficult. These men have a very hard time and will often attempt suicide.
And so your father actually had two men who he was in relationship with while he was married to your mother, and two men committed suicide after the breakup. So, and you talk a little bit about your father, the selfishness that was there in leaving these men behind and moving on to another guy, and always to another guy.
Right, right. And so, I mean, the partners that stood by him the longest were the ones that could put up with the various partners that my father had on the side. And whether they did that together or separately, again, this is part of their values. Their values, again, are going to be very different than what you'd expect of a traditional marriage situation where you have something like over 85% of the husbands and wives out there are going to remain monogamous and never have another sexual partner. It's very different under the GLBT umbrella. And for children, it's just very dangerous because, we're challenged by not just the expressed sexuality and various forms of gender that are revealed to us, but we also are at risk of mental health challenges as well as physical health, whether it's...
Oh, we'll have to cut you off there, Don. We're coming up to the segment here. We'll be back with another segment with Don Stefanowicz on the Americans for Truth Hour. This is Peter LaBarbera. Welcome to the debut episode of the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth, and I'm delighted to have as our first guest Don Stefanowicz, who is was raised by a homosexual father in a very dysfunctional home. She's telling us this amazing story, and her book is Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting. You can order it through the Americans for Truth website. We're going to be buying a bunch and distributing them. Just go to AmericansForTruth.com. AmericansForTruth.com. Dawn Stefanowicz's website is www.dawnstefanowicz, which is spelled STEFANOWIC as in cat, Z as in zebra, .com. And Dawn, before we go on to some more of your story, we've got only one segment here, and then we're going to have a part two next week with you. But I imagine the chief objection among liberals to your story is, oh, Dawn, this is just one person. This is not typical of gay men. How do you respond to that?
Father, he was involved with numerous men involved in the very same sexual lifestyle that he was. It didn't matter whether he was cruising in cosmopolitan Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, or down in Miami or San Francisco or any other major cosmopolitan center you have within the U.S., he was able to pick up a partner within minutes. And that means that there were other men, many other men as well, that were doing the very same thing that my father was doing.
Don, can I stop you there? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening would like, how does a guy pick up another guy in minutes? I mean, this is something that's special to the homosexual male community. Is this cruising, this rapid pickup? Explain that just briefly, if you could.
Well, it's something. I mean, people used to talk about keys or what ear you had your earring in, or a haircut you had, or some kind of hand signals or whatever, but they recognize each other. Whatever is common within the community at the time, they will use whatever ways of letting others know that they're available. So it's a type of communication that you may not be aware of. The other thing, too, my father took me along into some of his cruising locales. He actually used me as bait to attract bisexual and other gay men. And so what I figured from this was that women are, their beauty, their attractiveness is also used to attract men. And my father actually wanted to take me to San Francisco, basically leave everyone behind, including his current partner at the time, and he and I would be in San Francisco. And I was about 16 years of age.
And he would use you to pick up guys in San Francisco, basically.
Well, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to, for us, just the two of us, to move to San Francisco, and we would basically set up house in the middle of the gay village there, and I would be with him in his social endeavors.
Well, since we're telling your story in this first episode, Dawn, let's tell us briefly, take us how you got out of the situation, how your mother got out. You became a Christian. You met a wonderful man, and it had a happy ending for you.
Yes.
So that's the good news here.
Yes.
And your father also had a conversion, and do you believe he left his homosexual life behind? Tell us how it ended.
Okay. This is about 3 years before he died of AIDS. He came to Christ through a ministry, which I'll leave that to those that pick up the book and want to read it. But he had, through his transformation, he stopped cruising the gay bars and the streets. He became basically uninvolved with his partner. His partner was living with him at the time, taking care of his physical needs and making sure medically he was getting his medication on time and the intravenous and morphine shots and so on. But they chose to no longer have any kind of sexual involvement anymore. So the cruising had stopped, the sexual involvement with his partner had stopped, and my dad began to really seek Christ and read a lot of scripture. He was listening to music and watching videos of various messages that meant a lot to him. And he knew that his life was short, and he had to get right with God, and I believe he did.
And tell us about because people need to hear the physical ramifications of the lifestyle he lived. He contracted HIV, and did he get Kaposi sarcoma? And then,
yes,
tell us about that.
Well, he got it on his face, portions of his body, his feet. Also, you can find it inside the body.
And that was like is that the purple lesions that it is?
They
that
are. And they're like grape sized in some places, and they're very, very painful. And even though there are drugs today which help prevent that, at that point of time, they didn't have the same drug therapies in the late 80s coming into the early 90s that they have today. But still, they're not necessarily going to be effective for all people that are dying of HIV/AIDS. People need to have compassion for men and women that struggle with their sexuality, and I do, because I saw my father not only had lived a very difficult life, his upbringing and the choices that he made, then when the way he was dying, it was just very painful. It was very sad.
And yet the grace of God came into his life, and that's why we are so overjoyed to be Christians, that there's no sin too great that is greater than God's grace through Jesus Christ.
Christ is able to redeem us, take us from a pit that we're in for whatever reason, whether because of what others have done to us or the choices we have made or both. He is able to completely redeem, completely save, because his grace is free, and that free gift, when we receive it, we also receive eternal life. And my dad really had to come to the end of himself before he could truly accept Christ in his life and receive that level of forgiveness that he required. And, I mean, I'm grateful today that he chose eternal life with Christ,
And God drew you into a more wholesome, you yearned for a wholesome family life, and God provided you. We're going to take a shortcut here. He provided you with a wonderful husband, who you're married to today, who represented that wholesomeness that you were searching for.
Yes, he's a very moral man. We've been now married 25 years.
That's wonderful.
And he put up with me all these years, and the various issues I've had to deal with long term because of the impact of this kind of environment that I grew up in.
Well, we are going to be having a whole other episode with Dawn Stefanowicz, our first interview on the very first Americans for Truth Hour. This is Peter LaBarbara with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.com. Next week, we'll have part two of our interview with Dawn Stefanowicz, who's the author of Out From Under, The Impact of Homosexual Parenting. It is a riveting book. You will not be able to put this down. Dawn is a very good writer, and it's very well written. It tells the truth. It's a very harsh truth, but she tells it, and she tells it well. You can order that. We're purchasing some from Dawn. You can get these books through americansfortruth.com. Send us an email. Go to the website. And we encourage you to listen next week on the Americans for Truth Hour. Our program is designed to bring you guests like Dawn Stefanowicz to introduce you to these people who are on the front lines of this battle. And Dawn, in 30 seconds, can you tell me what would you tell people that they need to know about this gay agenda, which aggressively advances this ideology?
These special interest groups are supporting political and legal objectives of diversity, equality, and justice towards same-sex marriage, reproductive technology, adoption, hate crime, I mean, the list can go on, while ignoring the horrendous inequality, permanent losses, and prejudice to children in the name of adult sexual rights.
Absolutely, and you suffered it, and you experienced that firsthand. So it's quite a story. I encourage you all, tell your friends, listen to part two of our interview with Dawn Stefanowicz. That'll be next week. We'll have part two, and we're going to be talking about her activism in Canada. We're going to be talking about the research out there on so-called gay parenting. And Dawn, I thank you for this first segment and joining with me in our very first episode of the Americans for Truth Hour. Thanks for being our guest this week.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 1 a.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. Tune in at 1 a.m. next Saturday on AM 1160.